Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Seems to be an enormous problem that everybody is at almost enough distance to run a small cricket team. So we begin. We'll start, I think, with minutes of the meeting of March 2024. Anybody got any comments on those? Apologies.
Councillor Barron, substituted by Councillor McEwen and Councillor Powell.
Okay, public question time, nil. Councillor session, nil. Members' items, nil. Called in items, nil. Which takes us straight to item 7, officers' reports. And this is the 44 Addendum Year Performance Report, which I think is you being
Thank you, Chair. Michelle's going to go on this, so we'll go through it.
Can everybody remember to put their microphones on?
How do we do that?
Bottom one, button
button. Right. Yeah. Good evening, everyone. So, yes, I'll take you through the performance reports, and I was just saying Michelle is here as well to pick up some of the specific projects. Do you want to go through page by page?
I think sensible, not sure.
So, front page, obviously, summary of progress at the end of quarter four. 13 projects within the delivery plan, 8 of which are complete, and 5 which are ongoing and more than 3 months behind schedule. So we'll go through those. Just include a brief summary of things that have gone well at the end of quarter four, and then we've had slippage. And those are reflected in the annual report. So if we go on to the next page, the first one there, just to briefly touch on, is development management. Obviously, this has been an issue that the scrutiny committee has looked at over the last 12 months. And I think the Chair will come on to work programme later, and I'm sure you'll want to come back to that. In terms of performance or where we are at the end of March, the number of applications that the development management team are dealing with has come down 442 as at the end of March. For comparison purposes, the figure at March 23 was 946, so you can see how those numbers have come down. Obviously, the issue or the priority now will be to carry on with that level performance and keep the numbers down at that kind of level on a sustainable basis. So, as indicated in the update, we will be developing a plan there to look at how we can do that going forward. So, we'll come back to development management, I think, Chair, and we can provide detailed presentation on that future meeting.
Can I just stop there then? They've all got wonderful stars against them on that the first two pages. Any comments on those pages? Before we move on to page 5, which is the delivery of the Stafford Town Centre Transformation Programme. Back to you, Dan.
Yeah, we've got a separate report on the agenda in terms of the Stafford Town Centre Transformation Programme, the regeneration projects, and Michelle, I think we'll go through that later. And if there's anything you want to touch on as part of the performance report.
No, I don't think so, it's all covered up in that report.
Can I pick up one particular thing? We're talking about the Town Centre Transformation Programme, which is a specific area of the town. If we're looking at the whole of the Transformation Programme for the town, that includes Eastgate Street.
Yeah,
where are you going to put that in?
That's updated in the Riding Report.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Chair, these obviously are projects that the Borough Council is leading on as part of the Future High Street Fund Programme. So, again, if we've got that report, we'll come back to that. But if there's any specific questions at this point, Stafford Station Gateway, obviously the committee aware we as a council secured just under £20 million of levy up fund money to deliver Station Gateway and ensure that development could come forward. I think the position is outlined there in the report. I think we are just waiting now for the formal memorandum of understanding to come in from the opportunities. We were expecting that a couple of weeks ago, but with recent events and general election, we won't get that until after the general election. But that's just will enable us to move the project forward and receive the first tranche of funding. But we will be able to bring forward a delivery programme and an update again at a future meeting and show them for something to happen.
Now, the only other thing to mention now is that the funding is for the joint delivery of the station gateway, so the lion's share of that funding is actually allocated to the council council.
Okay, so we'll be able to come back with a more detailed update on that in due course. Moving on, in terms of the Meadowbrook Garden community, I think we've indicated in previous meetings that pieces of evidence and studies have been commissioned and completed over the last 12 months. The strategic outline business case for the railway station is completed. I think, as we sort of set out at previous meetings, we are looking at the local plan and the timetable. I'm sure the chair will want to come back to that. I think probably there's not much else we can say in terms of meetings tonight.
So, going back to page 6, I just wondered what the 1.33 ongoing health impact assessment, which has been completed, what does that actually mean?
Yeah, so this is quite a large piece of work that Homes England have been really supportive of us developing, and not to pull Anna into the fray, but it's been with Anna's support. Basically, it's looking at the scale of the development proposed at Meadowbrook from every single angle, what will the impacts be in terms of health for that community. So it looks at everything from planning to provision of health services to environmental stuff to climate change stuff. And it's a partner approach. So it's not just Maxine and others sitting in the Borough Council thinking, well, if we build this, what will the impacts be over there? We've had lots and lots of support from primarily the County Council, but also health providers, leisure providers. It's a really interesting piece of work.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Chair. Mm-hmm.
Just to follow on that, when will that be available? Is it available to look at?
Not yet, because part of what we need to do to close that off is to understand how that then ties back to the allocation of local plan, so we just kind of need to run the two together.
Will it come through in the local plan?
No, it will come through as I suppose it could form part of the evidence base for me, but we would publish it anyway.
Page 7 we're on to now.
Yeah. So we have stars there.
More stars.
Of Westbridge Park, obviously the works have been complete. And it is being well used, so I don't know if there's any questions on that, but that's been obviously that's finished and complete. UK Shared Prosperity Fund, again, we're into the final year of UKSPF. The funding runs up to 31st of March 2025, so again, we're progressing in terms of allocating the funding and spending money. We have a number of business support projects which we'll be funding this year as part of our year 3 allocation. And there'll be more details on those coming forward, but again, we'll be waiting to see what happens in the future with the UK Shared Responsibility Fund.
And we'll have spent all the money that we've received by the time.
Yes, we're on track.
Any questions there?
Just at the top of page 7, detailed master plan and viability studies have yet not been completed. When can we expect them to be completed?
Is that for me?
Well, I thought it followed on.
That's for me, Meadowbrook. So the master planning and the viability are both linked to the content of the local plan. So once the local plan progresses, those pieces of work can progress.
That'll be fine. Thank you.
Page
8,
please.
Yes, partial delivery. Visitor economy. So we provide an update there in terms of the Beautiful Borough campaign. I think at the last meeting, Jay recorded a presentation from Charlotte Kane on the local visitor economy plan or partnership. We've had some engagement with Charlotte since the last meeting, and I know she's keen to progress some of those actions that we discussed. She's identified some resources to work with us, consultant to work with us, to look at some of those priorities, and it would be good to come back to the committee in the future. But yeah, lots of opportunities there.
Can I just add to that? If anybody hasn't looked on the some beautiful borough website, it really is much improved. I mean, it's so much better, showing so many events and activities taking place compared with what we used to have when we were part of the Town Centre Partnership and only showed any businesses that were part of the partnership. It's not necessarily got there, but it's certainly getting there. It's much better.
Yeah. I would just say the remit for our beautiful borough is exactly that, so it's borough-wide, whereas the Town Centre Partnership did only focus on Stafford Town Centre.
Yeah, and go and have a look. It's as good.
Yeah, some really good content on that website. So, thank you. Page 9, I touched on the local visitor economy partnership, and again, we'll be coming back to that. I think there's the offer there to work with us to develop our priorities and look at opportunities around the business economy. And then the Rural England Prosperity Fund, we're continuing to allocate monies and award grants to businesses that have applications. So that, again, is all progressing well, and we're on track to allocate money. And I think in terms of page 10, we talk about the global plan we touched on. We had a discussion on this in the previous meeting, Chair, and officers obviously are looking at that at the moment in terms of the timetable. We're clearly assessing the impact of any proposed changes to the planning system nationally, and I think clearly we're in a period at the moment of general election where we'll see where we are after the election. We do need to progress our local plan, and we will come back with a report and a timetable to take that forward, whatever the outcome of the election. So that's something I think we will come back to later on this year. That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's it.
I'd like to mention design codes as well. Would you expect me not to? Is there a way of progressing our own design codes in the absence of the government's actual strategic statements?
Yes.
We've got a design code that was in advance of its time when they produced it, but it's now looking quite weak. And we do need to incorporate the changes with all the environmental issues that have arisen over the last few years, and ensure that developers are building to the best possible design standards, and that's not even beginning to talk about landscape and so on. So the question is, what can we do at this stage?
Yes, we will look to align with the local plan and bring that forward, that we can progress design codes. Obviously local authorities are being asked to produce local design codes, and I know with the cabinet member we've discussed this, so I think subject to us agreeing resource for that piece of work, we would look to do that, and obviously seek alignment with the local plan as that comes
forward. The trouble with seeking alignment with the local plan is we've no idea when this local plan's ever going to happen.
But we do need alignment with the local plan, but that doesn't mean we don't or we can't start work on design codes, if that's the question. We don't have to wait for the local plan. We can start that work. Again, once we've allocated some resource to that, we can move it forward, and then obviously we can tie it into the local plan and we have those conversations.
So we could produce a design code well in advance.
We can start working on
that. Sort of parallels the government's recommendations of what a design code should look like.
We can do lots of things separate to the local plan, but obviously we will seek as much alignment as possible.
But the developers aren't waiting for the local plan, they're building their houses and factories and what have you now. There we go. And that completes all of that. Anybody got any comments on the rest of that? No? I think everybody's just had a copy of that. It's just come in. We'll comment on that. Start with the first part, so that it's heads up appendix 2, I think. It's major planning applications determined within time have a star. Non-major planning applications determined within time at 70% have a star. Not sure the agents would agree all together with that. Over the page, applications registered and acknowledged within 3 days. That's validation.
No, Chair, those indicators you like to put in control.
Oh, this is all building control,
yeah,
sorry.
Regulatory services.
Ah,
so
right. Oh, they do very well.
I think,
sorry, the first two indicators
were
development.
Overturn the page, and we're looking at regulatory services. I'm not reading the heading. Is everybody with that? Okay. I think we know why there were issues on the two that had crosses that came up before, and they were blips. Any questions on that? Thank you for that, Tricky. And we now move to the business planning report. To review the programme of business with a view to report being submitted to council. Is anybody, I'll go from page to page on this, if anybody wants to add to this. This is the end of year report that goes to council, basically. Has anybody got any particular comments on that, starting at page 11? No, I haven't got one.
Page 11, no. Page 12.
to 5.4 and 5.5. Obviously, it sets out that development management performance was considered, and you received presentations on performance. So, without going into all the detail, effectively, this is a very high level summary of what the committee considered. So, I don't really know what else you'd want us to say in the report.
Yeah, I mean, they're always unsatisfying, these things, because they actually don't tell you anything at all, with great respect. It's the way the world works, I guess. Is that a satisfactory answer? I don't think you can add much to it. It is as it is, isn't it? And then we've got the budget. So nobody got any other points on that? I mean, that covers all the things we discussed, I think that's fair enough.
Jen?
Brian.
Does this cover also the local business plan? Because that goes out of date this year, and is that being rewritten, or can you tell me anything different about that?
The corporate business plan.
Yeah.
I think that
went out of date a year ago.
No, it actually concludes this year, and I think that one will be reported through resources scrutiny, I think.
So we're going to get a new one out? Yeah.
Yes, there will be a new one.
Thank you.
Most relevant to us, Dean will actually add to that, is our own strategy.
We're talking about that later.
Which follows on from the business plan. So I'm now moving on to page 14. And that's
on where the main projects are at. And as we mentioned earlier, this does also cover projects that aren't necessarily being delivered as a lead by the Borough Council, so there's County Council projects in there too. So we can never quite draw ourselves away from saying that we've done the work in the market square. I think the reason that we wanted to flag it here is because that was the piece of work that underpins the larger transformation work. So when we're looking at projects like the Guildhall and the former co-op, we need to have a nice starting point within the town centre. So it's just to kind of highlight the importance of doing that piece of work. Following on its heels will be the work in front of Stafford Railway Station. So this is the piece of work that we've been progressing with the County Council in terms of approvals on the operational highway. With Network Rail, because they own some of the land that we'll be doing some work on, and Avanti, who are the leaseholders of the land that we're going to do some work on, which is basically, if you're coming out of the train station and you go to the left, there's a surface car park that's basically been used for staff, but not very many, so it's usually fairly empty. Avanti have very kindly opened that up to public use as part of this project, but in doing so, we go through our own internal approvals process, but we also have to go through Avanti's, which in turn is an approval process of Network Rail, so it just takes a little bit of time. What we do know now is that the works, through discussions with the contractor and the County Council, any road closures that are needed to carry out the works on the actual highway, which are reasonably minimal anyway, the majority of the project is actually off the road, that will be dealt with through night closures. If there does need to be any work done during the day, the contractors are confident that they'll be able to manage that with basically narrowing the lanes or using some temporary traffic lights. So you're not going to see the kind of disruption on some of the larger schemes because it's quite modest work on the actual highway. Before I move on to the bigger projects, is there anything anyone wanted to pick up there? Super. So as you know, in October, Cabinet resolved to purchase the former co-op department store, and then in December they resolved to purchase the Guildhall shopping centre, which also includes the row of shops, well, most of the row of shops. It doesn't include a couple on the corner that run up Cravery Street. It goes around the back of the Guildhall, so where the Red Room nightclub is, and then there's also the row of solicitors' offices that overlook St Mary's Church. So that's when we talk about buying the Guildhall, that's what we're talking about. So there will be demolition works going underway on both of those sites. What we don't want to do is cause disruption and too much of an impact on the rest of the town centre while that work's going on. So what we've done is put those two pieces of work together, and we're going through a procurement process to appoint one demolition contractor who will work both sites. Mm-hmm. So that means you won't end up in a position where there's work going on in one, work going on in the other, and not talking to each other. It's basically just to try and contain that impact. And as part of that process, we'll also be working with the County Council to understand things like vehicle movements and moving sort of materials off site and all that kind of stuff. So that procurement is due to go live within the next week or so, and that's with a view to having a contractor appointed by the end of September. At this point in time, we have a kind of indicative programme of what will happen next, but that's us assuming they'll start on the Guildhall here and they'll start on the co-op here, but obviously the contractor will be looking at, I'm running two sites together here, so how am I going to programme it? What we know is that there's more building to do prep work on at the Guildhall than there is at the co-op, because the co-op is already entirely empty and in some cases bits of it falling down, whereas within the Guildhall you've still got basically at the rear empty retail units, so there's like stripping out and work to do. So as soon as we've got a programme, we'll share that with everyone, because it's really important that everybody understands when the work's going to be taking place and what the impact will be. Part of the procurement process is basically asking the bidders to tell us how they're going to manage stakeholder engagement, which I don't like that term. It's basically making sure all of the people that need to know what's going on, and also have a point of contact when it is going on, so that if there's any issues, they're being dealt with.
Any questions, sir?
Yes, if I may, Chair.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you.
Any idea how long the demolition works may take?
So again, this is based on not people who actually do the demolition, but who are familiar with demolition contracts, so they're kind of indicative time scales. So it's between 20 and 30 weeks for the co-op, and maybe around 40 plus for Guildhall. But it very much depends on how they manage to programme those two together.
Can I ask you a question, please?
Yes.
What impact will this have on the market situation? Well, what will happen with the stores as well, all this work going on, please?
Yeah, so they won't be in amongst the works. So there's a long-standing project looking at relocating the indoor market, and that piece of work is ongoing, but there's only so far we can go with that until we have a firm timetable, which will only get as a result of procurement. So what we don't want to do is tell the traders they've got X date to move by and then work doesn't take place. So once we've got a firm programme, we'll be able to take that piece of work forward. But we've already been talking to the traders, we've surveyed, you know, what space they need, what hours they trade on, all that kind of stuff. So we've got a whole package of information, but until we've got that programme, there's not an awful lot more we can say at this point.
Couple of things. I noticed that the staff station gateway isn't part of this report.
Yeah, it's basically because since the last time we reported to you, we haven't been able to progress anything because we're waiting on the funding board.
And the other thing I was asked in terms of stakeholder engagement, what community stakeholder engagement is part of that and kind of gives an overview of that aspect of it.
For the station gateway?
For the other, because you talked about stakeholder engagement, particularly for the town centre work, I just wondered what the kind of community aspect of that was.
Yeah, so the community form, that's why I said I don't really like the term stakeholder engagement. It should be community, but then you miss out on businesses and visitors. So it's basically, as I said before, it's everybody who has an interest or who might be impacted, they will be. So, for example, when we did the Market Square, in advance of the work starting, the contractors went and visited all of the shops around and the businesses around the perimeter to let them know what was going on. But then we did a kind of broader publicity around the works. A similar approach for the Guildhall, the co-op, and in the future the gateway. And it's really important that we're giving the right messages to the right people. So the level of detail we'll give to the businesses and residents, because there are residents within the town centre as well, will obviously be different to those people that are looking to visit the town, and that's why we kind of make the contractors jump through hoops to tell us how we're going to talk to people, just to make sure we get it right.
I'm sitting here thinking you're doing a presentation, but
not yet.
Oh, it's coming.
That's the next item.
Next one. Oh, that's right. Anybody? Oh, Brian.
All these projects, it's great that we've got them and we've got the amount of money. I believe it has to be spent by a certain amount of time. How much do we expect to have to give back to government that we haven't spent?
I'm not expecting to give any money back if I don't have to.
I know we don't want to, but with the three areas running consecutively, there's bound to be time that the overlap will not be able to cover all three at one time.
Not necessarily. So we're doing two very large demolition projects, so we have a figure in mind of how much that will cost, and that sits within the overall budget for the scheme. So if we need to, we have future high streets fund money, and we also have borough council money that can fund that. If it turns out that comes in at a higher level than our estimates say, because it's quite difficult to pinpoint that, that's fine, because all we do is increase the amount of future high streets we pay towards that and reduce the borough council's contribution to make sure we're using the background first.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Anyone else on that? There's one thing. Let's look at this. There's one thing I actually did talk to Dean about briefly, and it goes back to when we originally conceived all these projects. That they are knitted together as one big project to promote the whole of the town.
Yeah.
What stage are we at, and when are we going to get to that point where we say this is an overall plan for the town?
Yeah, so, and that's where these funding awards kind of send you in a slightly different direction. So in an ideal world, you would have a master plan and then you'd go and find funding and deliver the projects, but in the real world, what happens is Future High Students' money comes from here and then Levelling Up Fund money comes from there. What we have is a brief for a Stafford Town Centre master plan that looks at not just Future High Students' projects, but also the Staffordshire History Centre on Eastgate, the Eastgate development that the county are looking to develop, also things like the development of the college, because that's moved on significantly over the past few years. So it's basically knitting those together and then looking at what are the opportunities on the back of that to do more. So that piece of work is progressing with the County Council, so we've agreed kind of the high-level content of that. We need to go through another procurement process, which is not very exciting, but it will move that process forward. So I think once we've got a detailed brief for that, we can certainly bring that back to committee.
Can we put a sort of timeline to review it? I understand that you can't say when it's going to happen, but so we don't drop it off our agenda?
No, so on the basis that we're able to complete a procurement and get someone appointed, ideally we'd like to be launching that, as in gone through the Borough Council's approvals process and sort of this time next year. So I think when we get to talk about the work programme, we're probably talking about autumn time, probably to give you an update on where that's at, and
next
then we'll obviously come back when we're further through the process.
Okay. And so the county will lead on that?
No.
We will lead on that. Oh, that's fine. Okay. Thanks. Anybody? Peter?
Just trying to get this thing on. Thank you. The testing and finish the committee in action practice and not meet, has not met since April, and we're now looking back in September. It's a long time in actual fact in between.
The scrutiny committee.
Task and finish.
Oh yeah. Sorry, task and finish committee.
I didn't catch all this.
Sorry.
I'm struggling to hear. It's a big room.
Yeah, I was just saying that in actual fact that the relating to the what's happening actually in the town itself, that we've not met since April, we just met again. And our next report is going to be in September. What information can be fed up until that point?
So that's why we do these reports at every meeting, so that every time you meet you've got an update on progress. In the intervening periods where there's significant updates on any of the projects, you'll see that there's a press release done on it, so that information is shared publicly. You just get the full detail when you next meet at the meeting. I mean, if there's anything in particular that you're interested in an update on that we haven't covered, I'm happy to pull that together.
I think this is the task and finish group. It's not your remit. It's the task and finish group's remit to report on the performance of the high street was what we asked for, wasn't it?
Sorry, that's not what that group's been looking at. We've been looking at town centre events, which is kind
exactly.
of associated with this, but separate. But I'm not aware of the current position.
I think what Peter's asking as a member of the group, am I right,
yes.
is what's happened, because it seems to have died to death.
Okay, for you, Chair.
I'm talking to Dean, really.
Okay, well, firstly, we're talking about two issues there. So we've just updated in terms of the projects. There is a task and finish group, which was looking at events, and I think we need to get that group up and running again, and obviously bring a report back to this committee. But I think, in answer to your question, the meetings are set at the start of the municipal year. We have so many meetings a year, and we have a lot of different items to cover. Chairs, as you know, the committee, if it wants to do a task and finish, or it wants to have a look at something in more detail, you can do that. You don't have to wait for the meeting in September. But just to repeat what Michelle said, you know, there will be a programme of communications through the year. There's going to be a lot happening over the next few months. There will be information circulated to members and made available to members of the public. We will be looking at doing engagement, and you know, there's going to be a lot happening on the ground. So we've had a couple of months since the committee last met, but again, we can ensure that you get information between the meetings.
there will be information released, progress releases through comms, etc. But you know, the task and finish group that was set up was specifically looking at events, so that's why we've not covered it in this particular report. So I hope that clarifies that.
I don't think it clarifies anything. I think we'll ask Dee, because she's the only one who can tell Peter the answer. You're a member of the group, both of you.
We were asked to provide a report in September, for September's meeting. We're meeting with Dean, I'm meeting with Dean to pull the report together, then we'll pull the task and finish group together to ensure that what's in the report is what we discussed and what we want to go forward, and then it will be brought back to this committee.
Thanks.
Which was agreed.
Can I just add, when you say it's just the events, I mean, it's not just... We don't want a list of events taking place and how many there have been. The impact of the events, like how many more parking places are taken up, all those things are the relevant things that we need to know. What's it doing to improve the economy of the town is the gist of it. You and I have talked about that, and hopefully that will resolve.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if it would be useful to circulate to members of the committee the remit of what the task and finish group are actually looking at, because it's a little while since it was said, and that might be helpful.
Good plan. Mm. Everybody happy with that? Anne, you've got a question.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Thank you for giving me a chance to speak. Michelle, could you give us a little bit more information about the Eastgate development, please, and what sort of impact that will have on this area?
So the County Council announced during May that they've appointed a developer partner now, who are called ION, all in capitals. I don't know if it stands for something or if it's just a trendy way of styling it, but ION Developments, to basically take forward the indicative plans that the county have worked up over the last couple of years. So as I understand it, there's now a piece of work for ION to do to basically review the information that's already been pulled together. So the County Council commissioned various studies and design work. So what ION are now doing is looking at how to bring that forward to the planning application stage. So I think because when I wrote this last week, they'd only been appointed for a couple of weeks, it's probably going to be a more detailed update at the next committee, because they're 2-3 months into their commission, so I'll probably give you a bit more update on what that looks like. But there isn't an outline or detailed planning application or anything for the site, so we are still talking a little way off. Yeah.
Is a member of the public allowed to speak?
We have a member, I know she's a member of the council, excuse me, but she's not a member of this committee.
A member of the council can speak, yes, of course. Whether a member of the public is allowed to speak, Paul, I don't understand the conventions of the Borough Council even after 12 years, so I have to ask. Is the answer no?
Members of the public gallery can't speak.
That's the answer. No, a member of the council can speak.
Anybody in the public gallery shouldn't be speaking.
In that case, the answer is no. I'm sorry, you can't.
You said there is notice, but this specific effort didn't come out.
I should have asked you first.
Monday morning. So I will give some days notice.
Okay. So we now move on to the agenda. It's your next item, isn't it, Michelle?
I was just going to mention the Staffordshire History Centre.
Sorry, everyone. Excuse me. One meeting. History Centre.
It's just because it's such a fantastic project and it gets ever nearer to completion. It's just to let members know that as part of that work, the Borough Council has supported it with, I think it's £250,000 out of the UK Shared Prosperity Fund. I went for a look round, it was probably about 6 weeks ago or something like that now, and it's such a complete transformation of what was there before. It's going to be absolutely fantastic when it opens. And it might be useful to maybe invite Joe Terry to talk to the group when it is at the point of opening, just because the offer is completely different to the former records office.
Okay.
we'll put it down for our local work programme.
Through you, Chair. Do we have an idea when the work on the Heritage Centre, History Centre, will be completed?
My understanding was this autumn time that the Councillor Beattie probably knows better than me.
Yeah, just to declare an interest, I'm a trustee of the Salt Library, and it's a bit fluid at the moment, to tell the truth, Brenton, as I understand, but it will be, they're expecting it to be September, early October, for the soft launch. So the work will be completed early autumn. And it is very exciting. It's a project that we've all been working on, what, for 10 years, I suppose, or more. Two heritage lottery bids been in over that period, and an enormous amount of work, particularly by volunteers, as well as the County Council staff and the William Salt Trust staff. It's quite something. And that's why it'd be so nice to see the Eastgate project take off, because we need something to complement the work that's been done on the History Centre, so that the site of the magistrates' car park becomes a really nice part of the town as well.
Okay,
carry on.
So,
after that eulogy.
Can I just make one inquiry, please? I know that the new centre is going to be a fabulous asset to the town itself, but there were rumours, in actual fact, that it's been that the historical army side of what we now have on show is going to be demised somewhat and toned down. Is that correct or not?
I haven't heard that, and I wouldn't be able to answer that. I can find out, certainly.
I can begin to answer that. That's the Staffordshire Yeomanry Museum, I think, that Peter's talking about. Which is at the moment perilously situated at the top of the High House, is a fabulous little museum entirely run by volunteers and well supported by the Borough Council, in that at the site of the building, part of the building's been given to the Yeomanry. For all sorts of reasons not to go into now, it's not entirely suitable, and it would be wonderful to find a new site. Joe Terry, I've talked to Joe Terry endlessly about it, who's the county archivist, to see if there'd be room in the History Centre, but sadly there isn't, because the whole of the Shugborough Museum and the Lichfield collections are going in to the History Centre, along with other stuff from around the county. So at the moment, the Yeomanry Museum is looking for a home, and in the longer term, not the short term, and it would be lovely for it to stay in Stafford. Oh, sorry.
I'm just conscious of the member who wanted to ask a question. Can I go and speak to them, ask the question that they would like to ask, and then I will ask it on their behalf?
Is that just a bit out of order?
No.
The answer is no. I think the sensible thing is for the person concerned to write in and get an answer, perhaps ask for it to be raised on a future meeting day. Yeah. Carry on.
Okay, so the next item is basically an update on the delivery of the economic growth strategy 2020 to 2025, and I think it's probably only a small handful of members that were actually involved in the production of this, so apologies to you because you'll know this inside out, but I'll do a bit of a whistle stop tour of how we got to where we are, what we're doing, and some banana skins along the way. So our economic growth strategy, it's really important to say that this is a partnership document. So we spoke earlier about the corporate business plan. The economic growth strategy basically looks at the corporate priority for economic growth and develops that into a series of work streams to be delivered by a partnership group. So I don't know how well you can see those, but alongside ourselves and the County Council, the original group that worked on this document included the Local Enterprise Partnership, who don't exist anymore, Staffordshire Chamber of Commerce, Staff Town Centre Partnership, Newcastle College Group, Staffordshire Police, Housing Plus Group, and Staffordshire Commissioner's Office. And basically, all of those partners kind of put their ideas forward as to what it was they felt needed to be built on to develop the economy within Stafford Borough. So the vision that that group came up with was to develop a high-value, high-skill, innovative and sustainable economy. I can't tell you how many times that vision changed. It was very, very long and it's very, very short, and I think it kind of crystallised down into that one sentence, which is really helpful because it gives quite a tight focus of what the strategy is trying to do, because so many things could be incorporated in a strategy like this, but to be able to then demonstrate you've delivered against it, you really need to be quite specific in what the work that you're trying to deliver is. So we launched some public consultation back in March 2019. As part of that, we did an awful lot of stakeholder engagement workshops. So I think all members were invited to workshops. The Cabinet had a specific session, but then we invited partners outside of that group that sort of came together with the draft. And ultimately, that final document went through Stafford Borough Council's full council on the 6th of February 2020. So we were all ready to get going. Five thematic priorities, which are listed at the side. And basically, the work streams that sit under each of those priorities are basically the performance indicators that you see in the performance report. So they're literally taken out of that strategy. So that's where you kind of monitor that performance of the strategy. So five priorities, just to be really clear that we as Borough Council weren't leading on all of those projects. So things like the Stafford Western Access Route, clearly that wasn't us. Things like specifically around education, clearly we're not an education skills provider. So that's why when we report on performance through scrutiny, we're only picking up on the Borough Council's elements of that. So back in February 2020, we were talking about things like the industrial strategy white paper, the draft local industrial strategy that the Local Enterprise Partnership were pulling together. February 2020, Alex launched his consultation on the local plan issues and options. And we were in a slight state of limbo because we didn't quite know in terms of funding what was coming through as a successor to the ERDF, European Regional Development Fund. So setting all those kind of question marks to one side, we've now got our lovely new strategy, we've got loads of projects, we can't wait to get started. That strategic context changed somewhat from March 2020. The impact of the pandemic in terms of the local economy was significant. So for my team, their focus was entirely on supporting business, and that was through the numerous COVID grants schemes. Mm-hmm. So there were COVID grants that were administered by the local councils, there were loan schemes available, and looking back on it now, it was a kind of crazy time because we had a grant scheme, but then because of the way the restrictions worked around trading, some businesses weren't captured in that, so very quickly the civil servants made an amendment to the grant scheme so that we could pay them. And at one point there were lots and lots of iterations of the same thing, but the priority was, it wasn't about business growth, it was about business survival. And my team absolutely worked their socks off on this. And the amount of money that went out to local businesses was significant, but it did mean that priority around growing and building business had to take a little bit of a back seat because it was more about survival in the first instance. So just parking that, I think it's just relevant because such a large chunk of the strategy period was taken up with that work. So in terms of the first growth priority, this was around enabling new and existing businesses to grow and build confidence in Stafford Borough. This was basically about saying, investors, you want to come to Stafford because look at how well our businesses are doing. And that's not just our existing businesses. We're really keen to get new businesses up and running. So clearly the COVID grant support helped the existing businesses. But since we've moved out of that phase and into the delivery of the UK Shared Prosperity Fund, we've been able to focus much more on business startups and business innovation, and you'll have seen there's been lots and lots of really good stories coming through artist releases about various businesses that have had grants to either do more of what they're doing or to try and do something different, basically just supporting the sustainability of those businesses. And there's still more to come on that. So UK Shared Prosperity is in its final year now, so that runs to March 2025. So a little later in the summer, there's more support coming for startups, retail, hospitality and leisure. What we don't know yet is when that funding ends, whether there'll be a successor to that. What we're doing now is looking at which elements of UK Shared Prosperity Fund delivery were particularly successful, or which bits did we think we could have done a bit more with, so that when a new round of funding is opened up, we know where to try and target those resources. So, growth priority two takes a slightly different tack, and this is around infrastructure-led commercial and residential growth. So here, this is where we start getting into some of the local plan territory, although, first of all, Stafford Western Access Road, it's an impressive project anyway, but the fact that it was actually delivered during COVID was really impressive. And Stafford Western Access Road was a really important part of unlocking development at Burley Fields. And Burley Fields is one of the four strategic development locations within the local plan. So this is where, as part of our growth strategy, we look at what are we already doing. And obviously we've got housing and employment targets within the local plan. So it's basically just bringing that element into the growth strategy to kind of take an overview of where those developments were going. In addition, there's also been a couple of larger windfall sites at Fairway and Litchfield Road in Stafford. And we've also had the large employment sites off the A34 with Pets at Home headquarters. And I couldn't give it a more exciting name than PLP Stafford. But the large building just up the road from Pets at Home. In addition, in terms of infrastructure, we took a strategic regeneration framework, which is a vision document, if you like, for the station gateway, following extensive public consultation on that. That went through council last January, and that basically sets out the ambition for that site. Within that, we've subsequently been awarded the £20 million for the gateway through the Levelling Up Fund, and the Institute of Technology that the college are delivering construction is underway, and that is right in the heart of the gateway scheme, so there's quite a lot of activity in that respect. Growth priority three was about our rural areas, and there was lots of debate when the strategy was being pulled together as to whether we should separate out the rural economy or whether it should be considered the same as the urban economy. And I think actually we did the right thing in giving it its own priority, because it's an entirely different kettle of fish. That's kind of been reflected with some of the funding that we've had here. So again, those rural businesses had lots of support through the COVID grants scheme. And I've made a note there as well. Where we were given the flexibility to write a grant policy that was specific to our borough, we did do so. Primarily it's around the additional restrictions grant, if anyone remembers that, where we were listening to the issues that local businesses were having, or businesses that had fallen through the cracks and weren't entitled to other grants. We kind of tried to catch them within that funding. Again, the successor to that has kind of been the rural element of the UK Shared Prosperity Fund. And confusingly, that's in two different places. So a bit of the main pot has some rural business-to-business grants, so businesses that trade with businesses. And then, because of the geography of our borough, we got, I think it was nearly £500,000, additional award for Rural England Prosperity Funding. So there's been quite a lot of funding that just didn't exist before going into those areas, and we were inviting grants for up to £65,000 on that. So I think, thanks to those schemes, we've been able to offer more practical help rather than just advice to support those businesses. Growth priority four, this is one that absolutely sits outside of the borough remit, but it's really important that we know where that's headed. So this is around skills and new Newcastle stuff in College Group's two big redevelopments at the Skills and Innovation Centre, which is in Earl Street, and the Institute of Technology within the Gateway. They are huge, huge projects that are really making people sit up and think about investing in Stafford. So, for example, at a developer event recently, I was talking about Station Gateway, and they were talking about, oh, well, if you're thinking about looking at investment from a hotel, you're probably looking at this kind of thing. I explained about the Institute of Technology that was coming out of the ground. Oh, but in that case, you want an entirely different offer. And it's basically that growth around skills and employment is very attractive to investors. And finally, the Health Innovation Centre off Blackheath Lane, Staffordshire University. It's another sort of complementary skills offer within the borough. And then finally, I won't spend too much time on this one because I've already talked to you about a lot of the projects that we've been delivering. But a specific priority around our county town status and bringing into that the visitor economy across Stafford Stone and Eccleshaw. So in addition to all the projects we've already talked about, we've also had involvement with the Destination Management Partnership, which is now the local visitor economy partnership. So that's Charlotte Payne, who came to talk to you at your last meeting. Through a succession of funding opportunities, we've been able to support the Our Beautiful Borough brand, which Councillor Beattie mentioned before, which basically showcases Stafford Stone and Eccleshaw. And that actually started out of reopening High Street Safely Fund, and we've basically kept it going each time there's a new pot, because it is a very successful brand, because there was some concern that Stafford as a place didn't really have an identity. And then finally, the We Are Staffordshire brand, which the County Council lead on, but are very keen and doing very well with it, to involve all of the districts and boroughs within that banner, because sometimes having that broader sort of remit, it's a little bit easier to grab the attention of investors. So we've been working under that banner with them for the last few years. So finally, because the strategy runs to 2025, although it's still only 2024, we do need to now start thinking about what we want to see in our next strategy. And there's lots of work that you do before that becomes a document, which is basically figuring out what it is we want to achieve and then how we're going to do that. Part and parcel of that will be that consultation and engagement that I mentioned earlier. So probably a little bit later this year, we'll be coming back to committee to basically get your input on that initial piece of work. In the meantime, we carry on reporting on all of these pieces of work through the quarterly performance, so you still know what's going on.
Thanks, Michelle. That's very comprehensive. No, not very comprehensive. It's comprehensive. Any questions from anybody on all of this?
Congratulate Michelle and the team on that work.
Definitely that. The question I've got, which was mentioned earlier, is how is it going to slot into the corporate plan? Because the corporate plan hasn't emerged.
Yeah.
And how are you going to make them? Because this should follow the corporate plan, but we haven't got one.
Yeah. Well, we have got one because it runs
Saturday,
2024.
Yeah.
21 to 24.
Yeah, but we're in 24 and we're done for now.
So the priority within the corporate business plan is quite broad in terms of economy. And if you look at other corporate plans, there's always something around economy there. We don't need a vast amount of detail because that sits in this plan, this strategy. What we're working on the basis is that the sustainability and development of the local economy is still a council priority. Well, we're not hearing anything to the contrary, but obviously once we start looking at the kind of the key drivers behind the new strategy, we'll keep and challenge against the emerging corporate business plan just to make sure that that's still in there.
Does that mean, shall I ask the cabinet member? Because it's a question, do you have to change it if the corporate plan comes out after?
No, it's not.
Let him answer. See what he has to say.
Michelle's got a good answer here, but you know, the corporate strategy and the detail behind this, they will fit together and they will have to inform each other. So the new corporate strategy will need to
follow our economic strategy.
This, for example, growth plan 4. Now that's not related directly to our remit, but upstream and downstream from that, we need to make sure that the schools are producing the students that will go into the college, but also our economic strategy needs to then feed off the new technical skills we've got within the borough, so that we're promoting the kind of economy that everything fits together. So corporate strategy, the detail in this, but also the vision behind this, we just need to develop that more.
The distinction is it doesn't work quite like the local plan does, where you need your national policy, your local plan and your SPDs.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, it doesn't work quite like that, because what we're doing here is linking into a broad strategic objective, which will be broadly the same from one corporate plan to the next, whereas it's in the regulations of the local plan. You must make sure this one talks to this one.
Can I ask you one more question, if nobody else has got a question? How does our economic strategy to come fit in with all the other local authority economic strategies, which are all going out hell for leather to get new businesses and so forth in their local authority areas?
And I think that's part of that first point that I said around research. It's looking at what other local authorities are doing, particularly those close to us, but I think it's also looking at what the challenges are in the local economy, which for Stafford will be different to our neighbours, but will be the same as people further afield. So that's why that research bit's really important, just to make sure we're not just trotting out a strategy that does the same as somebody else. It needs to be bespoke to Stafford Borough.
Doug, yes, again.
Yeah, so on the education point, the kind of things that were raised within that dealt with kind of the physical development of campus,
yeah,
rather than curriculum offer. But for businesses looking at investment, they're going to be at least as in from experience, at least as interested in curriculum offer.
Yeah.
How much is that going to form part of the research kind of moving forward to the next?
Yeah, so, and this is where it gets tricky, because you want to make sure that you're fully across what all partners are doing, but equally that's their remit, not ours, so we just need to make sure that we're not then doing anything that trips that up. So I think there's a number of kind of bits there. So one's around inward investment. So when we're looking at our inward investment material, are we being clear about what the education offer is within the borough? So for example, and Council Beattie, you'll remember that we pulled together a basically a lifestyle brochure, if you like, which was primarily for people where their employer was moving into the area and they were kind of trying to say, come with us, this is what Stafford Borough offers. And within that, lots of stuff about visitor economy, but also where the education offer is. And I think it's about signposting towards places like the college, but also the local schools, because colleges are for everyone, just understanding what that offer is. But the college will be part of the working group that pulls this together. So it may well be that they have the converse issue, which is they've got curriculum that they need to try and find where they need the people to come for that, so it kind of works both ways.
Okay.
Thanks.
Anybody else? Thanks, Michelle. As I said, that's comprehensive and very helpful. And we'll be coming back to it, I'm sure. Which takes us neatly on to the work programme, I think, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm supposed to remind you that it's the members' work programme set by the members for overview and scrutiny. We've set out, or the officers have set out, the dates and a simple performance report on everyone. And now we've got to fill it in. And I've actually had a discussion with Dean and a thought of a sort of format for how to take some of the points forward that we've discussed this evening, a lot of them. And so what I'm
proposing to do is to suggest, on the basis of the forthcoming meetings, which meeting should deal with what. And the first meeting we've got is the 23rd of September, and I think, Dee, that it will include your report, won't it? So we most definitely will have the town centre, task and finish town centre report to put on that agenda. Brendan, I know what you're going to say, section 106.
Absolutely right.
That's the next one on my list.
Yeah. If I could remind members that there will be a meeting on the 2nd of September, which will be chaired by cabinet member Henry, with Alex Yendall, which hopefully will turn all that mystery of section 106 into something that we understand a lot better and enable us to get our grubby little fingers on the money.
Does it make the 23rd of September a good day to have a review by scrutiny, do you think?
I would hope so, yes.
So that's good timing.
Yeah, yeah.
So in that case, is it sensible to put put section 106 on our September agenda? The next one's the UKSPF, Strategic, whatever it is, fund.
UK Shared Prosperity.
Shared Prosperity.
So we talked about that quite a bit tonight.
Do we leave that off?
It's entirely up to you. We can do an update at the next meeting.
Will it be on
later the meetings?
You'll get the kind of the details through the performance report anyway. But I'm guessing that's more of an overview of what the programme's delivered so far.
I think we'll leave that then. Are you happy to leave the UK Shared Prosperity Fund perhaps into November, if it seems that it's a useful thing to pick up at that particular meeting? I've got the gateway down for November as well. I'm looking at you again, Michelle.
Yeah, that should be fine.
And also on the September meeting, looking at John Holmes, development management update for September, if everybody's happy with that. Is that okay? Well, that's probably enough for September, I would imagine. Are there any others? What's come up this evening? I've got nothing. Have you got anything that's come up?
Not the next agenda.
No. The November agenda, what I would suggest is we look at the gateway, which should have... would we have made progress by then? Yes, add the gateway. And then the other one that we're very keen to put on there is solar farms, because we've got a plethora of solar farms coming through the system, and it'd be interesting to see how the Borough Council is, and not just the Borough Council, but the nation as a whole, is dealing with the applications to prioritise them and decide how many are now. Because at the moment, they're taking, I think we've got 9 or 10, up to 49, 50 hectares.
I'd suggest you include onshore wind on that as well. They're very connected, and they're in the local plan for options as similar sites. So
good plan. Is that okay? Yeah. Happy to serve that. So in November, we'd then have an update on the gateway and a major item on the solar farms and onshore wind. And then we have a gap until March, by which time Alex will have lots to say about the local plan in Leesbrook, we hope. Is that okay? And then another development management update. That'll be six months because we've got September, so that's quite right, isn't it? And the last one that we had thought of putting on there is the follow-up for the visitor economy, because there's quite a lot of action points that came out of that meeting, and I think it'd be very interesting, and that would be just about in the run-up to the new sort of tourism season and the impacts on the borough. Anything that you'd like to add to that programme? Oh, sorry, that began.
At full council, we passed a motion on rivers and asking Severn Trent to attend this scrutiny committee. So I think this should probably
was the resolution?
That was the wording of the motion was that the representatives would be invited to this committee.
Yeah.
So I think that's a timing issue, Chair, in terms of where we fit that one in.
Can
that was what was agreed.
It'd be better sooner than later, wouldn't it? I think. Can we fit it in, try and fit it into September? Are you thinking, Delia?
It's either September or November, isn't it? I'm just conscious we've got a lot on. But
hopefully, the gateway will be a shortage item in November, would it?
It can be.
We can do it. Yeah,
and then
we can
push it in. Is okay, that's okay, I think that would be very sensible, I've forgotten that. So that's a fairly full programme. Might make the meetings a bit longer than this one. But I will leave it that we all arrange that programme. Which takes us to so the meeting is concluded. Thank you, everybody, for your attendance. I think we've got two interesting meetings coming up for the rest of the year.
Sorry, the state of the room has precluded this going round.
Thank you.